is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. Guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, January 17th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we have yet another Open Line Tuesday. This was actually by popular demand. Yesterday I had Open Line, and then I had a lot of comments saying, no, you must continue it. And I said, no, I have a guest tomorrow. I have Catherine Mitchell, who's going to join me to have a conversation tomorrow. And then the text line was inundated and said, no, there are so many things that the texters wanted to talk about. They wanted to engage me about, question me about, challenge the status quo, and to put it out in the airwaves that they are concerned. I said, okay then, another open line day, whereas you can call in and say what is on your mind, say what is trending, and have a conversation. You can beat me up and say, well, this is what you should be talking about. And in order to help me with this conversation, we have Catherine. Catherine, welcome again.
I'm family, and I'm happy to be here to learn. I'm always humbled and inspired by your company. And I do have an opening question to our call-in audience. Mm-hmm. As we talk about what's out there in the air, the airways, I would like to know, is this true about the monkey, Tamron, making everyone itch across the islands? Because some people calling names had a lot of people calling yesterday and said they couldn't go to work or had to leave from work because they were itching too much because of the monkey, Tamron, in the air. And the only thing this might have any sincerity is that after going home on the day I've been outside on Sunday, I did feel mysteriously itchy. And I don't know if that was just a mentally, like when you know when you get a call from school and they say your kids have lice and then you have lice for them, like mentally have lice for the next 6 years because you're always itching. So is this true? Has anyone heard this is true? Is this factual at all? Have you ever heard of anything? I saw things over Facebook warning people.
I haven't heard anything about monkey tambourine, but I mean, it's a lot of breeze.
So please, if anyone has knowledge of, and fact that goes with all this chat and memes, let me know because I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to continue the conversation, or at least brief Catherine on what was being discussed yesterday. Yesterday, we're all up in arms about the duty of care the government has to the musicians, right? We had a musician, and Freddie Munnings, he called in, Junior. Mm-hmm. He called in, and we had an exchange back and forth. He's good people. And he was... basically saying that he's aware of hotels who, I'm trying to quote him properly, you know, I didn't want to misquote him, you know, that have foreign musicians playing. That's one charge he made. And also another charge was saying that government needs to step in and ensure that more musicians have the opportunity to perform as, let's see, what word he used? Like headliners. For shows, right? He said that it's. I mentioned that there are musicians who play by the pool all the time, who play on site at the big hotels, and he said that we should be not relegated to just being that. That we can be headliners in a major band, a major artist coming down, and that they should be on the ticket. And I'm saying I have no problem with that. But if I have a country and Western theme, right, and there's no country and Western Bohemian musician, why would I have them changing the theme of my thing?
I heard the wrap-up of the show, and your point being that it shouldn't be something that's mandated, but it should be something that is motivated.
Yes.
That people choose you because they wish to and not that they must. And I think this is such an interesting and important conversation. Earlier today on Dwight's show, they had the Bahamas Shakespeare in Paradise crew on, and they've done extraordinary work for so many years in upping and carrying on the wonderful theater culture that we have in the islands. And basically, I think Dr. Nicolette Bethel was saying, we need money in order to up this experience. One of the callers in or texters in said, well, why, if you want us to come and support, like perhaps, and I don't want to misquote it all, she said, well, how can we make it more of a broad Broadway experience. And Dr. Bethel was saying, with money, with professionals, with more funding, but that would have to be recognized by the government and by those with the powers to give money and support as something that is not a luxury, not a hobby, but a necessity to the soul of our country. That arts are that which give us character and spirit. That is, that arts are where we attract the international audience to us. But in order for them to be better funded, we'd have to first invest in them and to see them, again, not so often anything that's of an artistic nature is seen as something of a luxury. It's something of like a richer class. If you ever hear someone doing his acting or painting, et cetera, as higher education, in the past, it would always be seen as something that was, you know, frivolous, not necessarily having meat and bones that could put meat and bones on their table in life, and therefore not necessarily supported. But what the artisans in our country, the musicians in the country are saying, no, this is what we need to keep the soul of the Bahamas alive. Like Dostoevsky said, that beauty will save the world, and it's the beauty that we're creating that will save the Bahamas. So our musicians are saying, sure, it's almost... I don't know if this is the right parallel, but as we talk about racial justices, that sometimes you can say, I need a plate at the table, but people have to be given a plate at a table where it has never been a fair playing field. So maybe Bahamian musicians are saying, yes, we can always have people coming in and supporting, but we have demand that we always have a part of that, that we always have a piece of that pie in order to get the exposure, to get the support, to get the money that we need to grow and up our craft. Now, what you're saying is, well, have a craft so exceptional, so undeniably brilliant that no one doesn't want to invite you.
And this is what I'm saying about the Freddie Munning Sr., mm-hmm. his craft, he was doing.
We all know it, enjoyed. Yep.
Right? the guests came looking for that. Yes. Right? And of course, they didn't go to the hotel. They went out searching mm-hmm. for wherever he was. But I love the beautiful segue you did regarding Shakespeare's Experience Paradise. Mm-hmm. And I want to say kudos to Nicolette Bethel and her husband.
And Greg their team.
Mm-hmm. And their team, of course. And as we prepare for our 50th Independence Day celebration, Shakespeare and Paradise said they're not waiting for the government. Mm-hmm. This is a statement I'm trying to push forward. They declared that they are not waiting for government to help them with the celebration.
They will do, and it will come.
They shall mm-hmm. do, and it will come. And mm-hmm. that's what I'm trying to put forward to the musicians. Just do. And if you are exceptional as you say you are, mm-hmm. if the Bahamian people say, this is how we celebrate, and this is what I want to go and listen to, the tourists who you claim are coming here to have a Bahamian experience say, hey, what do y'all go to? Where do y'all go to party? Why there are no locals here? Mm-hmm. Say, man, no, we have our own place. And this is where we hang out, and this is where we have fun. This is our, in quotes, junkanoo, mm-hmm. right? Because remember, junkanoo is not for the tourists. The Junkanoo is actually for Bahamians.
And it is so
exceptional. It is so exceptional that the tourist man, I want to come and experience that when I come down. And I think musicians need to get to that point, and don't think they're at that point right now.
I think this is a perfect conversation as we continue to talk about our road to our anniversary celebration of independence. Is what is the kind of character we're looking to develop as a nation as we continue to cue into developing our economic growth, as we embrace the technology and the educational demands that are necessary as we look towards the future? How then are we going to incorporate the soul of our country? Because without soul, then nothing is palatable or valuable. The nation is made up of our people, not our geographical beauty, which we have unmatched throughout the world. So we have texts coming and it's exciting. Hi, I sent a text. My point was not that we should create Broadway, far from it. I spoke to the statement that Bahamians will pay $300 to see Broadway, but won't pay $30 to see Shakespeare in Paradise. What I was trying to get across was, rather than decrying that dynamic, understand why it is. It's a standard thing you do when you do market analysis. Who's my customer and who's my competition? Thank you. I appreciate you calling in because I was doing school dropouts as you talked. And I completely agree that the Broadway experience is something to aspire to. And I thank you for sharing it. I grew up going to the Dundas with my mother, my grandparents. We went to see Summer Madness. We went to see one of my favorites, Man of La Mancha, and the Grease Lightning Productions, and they were life-changing to me. As I got older, I had the experience to go off, and I've seen some Broadway. I've seen some things across the world, and absolutely, that atmosphere, the reason that people pay $300 to see Hamilton,
I'm just going
to
ask you, why, though, Catherine, why do Bahamians who go to New York and off-Broadway spend $300, but would never spend $30 here.
And this texter, and thank you so much for clarifying. I do appreciate it. And I do hear what you're saying, is that if you see Hamilton, it's worldwide standard. It's exceptional.
What you trying to say, but our Dundasen stuff.
And I would say that, and again, this is, again, I'm so happy to continue this conversation. So I was so engaged in it. And I'm happy we have Bahamians interested in international arts and sharing their knowledge with us. So again, I just want to say, appreciate that. But when I went to these performances, when I was younger, when I was a little kid, I remember being, they were life-changing to me. They were, to me, the best of the best. They were exceptional. If you've attended Shakespeare in Paradise, there are extraordinary degrees of performance. But what they do lack is the infrastructure, the funding, the ability to pay the directors, the artisans, the writers to be professionals. Mm-hmm. And so they're treated as part-time hobbies. Again, one of the discussions was, well, Broadway started like that too. Then it had support. Then it had recognition. Then it grew. And I think that to compare what we do locally to a worldwide stage is the Bahamas is always aspired to stand on an international stage, and we do. We have always punched above our weight. We are gold medalists on the track field and in our arts and in our academics and with the people that step up and shine brightly. And so I think that that's a fantastic thing to aspire to, that we could attract an international level of audience. But what I think the artisans, the writers, the directors, the painters, the singers are saying, we still need support to get to the next level.
Okay, and I want to pivot here, and I see we have two more texts, which I want you to read and to engage the listening audience. Recently, I'm not sure if you were able to see it, there is a video circulating social media, Facebook, WhatsApp, you know, of a resident in Harbor Island, right? And the resident in Harbor Island, I know you travel, you love culture, you're a historian by trade, right? It's saying that they're inundated by immigrants, that they have an immigration problem. And you're saying that narrative is now proliferating throughout the whole island, right? They're saying Nassau is inundated. They're saying Abago is inundated. They're saying Eleuther is inundated. We see members of parliament in Abaco making mention. There are members of parliament for Spanish Wells making reference. Harbor Island, like I said, Andras. And it seems as if we just don't know what to do. I see the minister, Keith Bell, say, man, we have a record deportation. We're doing exercises. And it's more that he makes that announcement, it seems that it's not making a dent into the issue at hand. I'm trying to say, your opinion, all right, what is causing that? Why do you think that Bahamians are so angst about apparently one set of ethnic groups being here? Right? And what type of solutions did you think of?
So, do you want me to read the text first?
No, you answer that and we go to the text afterwards.
Okay. I was afraid you were going to ask me about this because you've... but when it comes to the issue of immigration, I just have to step back into my historian shoes and say that any country, any place throughout the world, depending on how well a country is doing economically, financially, how developed it is, how at what status of peace or war it is, immigrants can be treated as heroes or as the enemy. And it include...
You want to treat them as heroes?
As heroes or as the enemy. If you look at early immigration into the States, a lot of the people that fled war-torn countries now become the wealth and the backbone of a U.S. society.
This is what I'm saying.
I'm saying that the Bahamas absolutely needs to stop the influx. We need to support our defense force. We need to handle these populations and return them with humanity. The one thing that bothers me and continues to bother me about this immigration debate is the language and the manner in which we undertake it. The only reason...
Let's talk about the language.
Wait, the only reason any of us are here in the Bahamas, black, white, bright, whatever, mango skin, whatever you identify as, is because we won a geopolitical lottery in an atrocious game of chess that happened to land people from lots of different countries on our shores, and some people stopped in
the language.
Some people stopped in different countries. We happen to end here. This is not a God-given entitlement that we are born Bahamian. Is it a right that we have to continue to earn and continue to work on as we go towards independence? Now, are we responsible and capable at this point of our growth in history of taking care of that which is the I will say the Haitian tragedy. And that is not because I think the Haitian people are tragic. I think they're brave, they are noble, they're desperate. If I were a mother in some of the situations, I may very well take the choice to get on a boat and try to find a different life. Are we able to cope with that? No. Do we need to support the issues to receive these people and return them with kindness? But we have to watch our language as we talk about these people.
I want to talk about this language you keep on talking about. What language are you talking about?
I would say insulting, without devoid of equality, unchristian. We like to talk about Christianity when we're talking about marital rape debates and saying we're a Christian country, stay out of the bedroom. But when we're talking about the Haitian people, the other people, there is widely on the talk shows something that lacks humanity. And I'll give you an example that so shook me is that a well-known person, I won't barely call him a pastor because a well-known person of religious bearing said that that reporting on Abaco, they said the smell of bodies in the mud was a signal of triumph for the Bahamas, meaning that the death of Haitians was a signal of triumph in this country. And this so gutted me, this so viscerally disturbed me that we'd say that the death of any people would be a triumph for us when we are all, as humankind, trying to do our best. And as we look forward to 50, as we talk about the character of the Bahamas, who we want to be as a people, we have to be very, very careful that we're becoming something worth preserving, that we're a country that is worth carrying on another few decades. Do I think we've done exceptionally as a country? Yes, I will live and die here. I always say on my first date, I told my husband, the Bahamas is my first and only life. I'd never leave my country for anything else. But at the same time, we need to work on how we speak about ourselves, how we speak about other people, and carry on with strength, but humanity.
But then I ask you this. There's a protest happening right now, right? About the illegal immigrants and seemingly government is not doing enough, right? What should government know? What should Bahamians be doing in order to assist government to curb the illegal migration problem? What you say that we need to be helping them with?
First of all, I just want to take a second because we have the text coming in, and I actually kind of agree with them because we went from theater.
We got immigration,
but can we jump in so we don't gallop past the text? Okay, I'm really excited to make people mad today. But first of all, I want to just say that Monkey Tamarin is indeed in the air in my area of Carmichael Road. Good morning. My skin does be itching me to Monkey Tamarin. It's in my yard or in the air. And yes, it seems to be flying around. I'm irritated skin. So we have a lot of people saying this Monkey Tamarin thing is real and alive. Great show as usual. So I'm getting a lot of people upset with me about this opinion. And so I'm going to go ahead and share some of them. Cure for the itch is go bathe and stop being nasty. Oh my gosh, I'm going to go have to run my hot water tonight. It's being cold, you know, people. Great show as usual. Your guess is incorrect. Bahamians don't just support Bahamians when it comes to music. And the Bahamians just don't support Bahamians when it comes to music and art. The government and hotel don't even support these groups. Okay.
But our government do incentives, right? We know that at regatta time, at various themed time, our government going hire artists en masse, right? I know that the musician union, separate from government, has negotiated with the various hotels to include artists, right? And we must applaud them for that. So why are we blaming our government in regards to them not supporting artists? Mind you, there might be more things that the union could be lobbying for. I know that Munnix mentioned that they want some tax breaks. And that's something that we need to speak on. He said he spoke to Halkidis, and that hasn't happened, and we should lobby for it. But go ahead.
I just don't want to leave these textures behind that came in. The lady the person, I'm not sure if it's a lady, who spoke about attending Broadway, said, if your competition is successfully drawing from a shared customer base and you are not, especially if the customer is charging more, understand what the customer is doing. Okay. And so I think that, again, that's a fair point of view. Nuri, tell your guests we can't go to Haiti and do foolishness. Tell her, get out of this country talking foolishness. every nationality has their own country. And I'm a Bahamian born and bred in the Bahamas. Thank you very much. Garbage, what language? They are Haitian. They are breaching our borders, so they are illegal. They are crapping in our land. Nasty, what language? This is our problem here, stepping on eggshells. And we have serious work to do to stop letting people play on our sympathies. Okay. I knew that this is what I was opening the door to.
You mentioned, before you started reading the text, you had mentioned language. You said the language is brash in terms of dealing with the illegal migrant.
Yes.
And you believe that is not helpful in terms of how, how the world sees us as a people, and then in terms of how we deal with human beings. And that you warn that we should be careful in terms of how we approach this.
And I think, and I feel the anger that is coming out. This has said, why would you ask your guest about the illegal Haitian immigration problem? That's a whole, and I am not an immigration specialist. So you can come for me. This is what I'm saying is what I'm hearing as a Bahamian. I was born and raised in the Bahamas. I live in Adelaide. I was born in Princess Margaret Hospital. I went to Queen's College, and I grew up in Gambier. Now your guest has destroyed her credibility and tarnished her objective opinion. Anyone who thinks we should smile and let illegal immigrants take over the country is naive, dangerous, and misguided.
But you didn't say that.
I also agree with that. And I didn't say that. I'm just saying that the manner in which we conduct ourselves does reflect our society and nation's soul. And that which we can be done well, done with integrity, and done with strength. But it still can be done with dignity, class, and humanity. Let's see what else I have to suffer through. Excuse me, this is the Bahamas and not Switzerland. I don't know, the last 2 days it's felt like Switzerland was this cold. The time for diplomacy is long past. You need to choose a side. Great show as usual. Your guess is incorrect. Bahamians don't just support Bahamians when it comes to music. Okay.
There you did. Right down. Okay. So let me give you a scenario too, and I want your commentary on it. And there's something I brought up yesterday. Circulating again through social media, there was a video, live feed video of Lincoln Bean, the politician, right? And Lincoln Bean went over Paradise Island, and he got news that there were some migrants living in some condominiums, right? So as a political activist, he's an advocate as part of his political platform, he went over PI and went to this compound and knocked on the door. And he then started to question the persons who answered the door and accused them of being illegal immigrants. He said that they should not be there. Why are they there on the compound? And asked them to see their passports. He interrogated them, right? And I want to know your commentary on it. When you say that's not the language we should be using, imagine a layperson who is not an authority or law enforcement at all. Is it appropriate that they knock on a private citizen, whoever they are, and say, well, I've heard this, and that we're doing a citizen interview to interrupt what you're doing.
Okay, I'm going to step back from that question and say that I threatened me to talk about immigration a few days ago. And so I approached this knowing that what I was getting into, and also knowing that I am talking as a layperson. I'm talking as a Bahamian citizen that has my life roots and bones in this country and appreciate and respects and defends the Bahamas to my death, and also want to see it having a bright and prosperous future. But the reason why I think this brings out anger is because there's so many people that don't feel like at this point of having recovered from economic turmoil, having at the point where you take $20 into a grocery store and it doesn't buy you two items, at this point of stress, of pressure, of struggle to survive, of struggle to have ownership and a position within your own country where you can go off for higher education and still struggle to come back and get a job that can afford you housing and a car and groceries and your light bill. At this point, it's to see anything that is foreign that could be taking away from that is seen as a threat, and a threat that has to be matched with every strength and every pushback. I mean, we often compare the Bahamas to Singapore in size and in the fact that we have the same few decades of independence. Now, Singapore comes from a totally different political background and they took a different approach. But one of the first things they did after their independence, they claimed led them to having a successful economic future is that they did a mass housing projects in which I think they did 53,000 apartments that they basically subsidized and said, get in there so that you own a piece of this country, that you have loyalty here, that you have something that you can afford to build on, that they made education widespread and subsidized it so that every Singaporean child was able to partake in a higher education. They developed a culture of meritocracy. They really focused on multinationalism to divide the racial lines because Singapore is such a melting pot of people. And so I think what we haven't and what we struggle to look for, we've done so many wonderful things. I'm so proud of the country. And we are untapped as far as our potential and so far that we can go. But one of the things is that people are struggling with is a feeling of ownership in their own country. Like, okay, so we cannot afford to take care of these foreigners come in. I agree. I just think that the celebration of the death or the trampling down on spirits that are in a desperate state, we don't have to speak of it in this way. We can act in strength and speak with honor and dignity.
I want to interject you there. You mentioned that in Singapore, that yes. Their approach was to solve the housing crisis. We have a housing crisis right. in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Abaco has a housing crisis there. Even Harbour Island has a housing crisis there. Nassau, New Providence has a housing crisis where there aren't enough houses that poor people can afford to thrive and live. So I'm trying to say, what is causing the shanty towns? There are Bahamians living in shanty towns. There are Bahamians living in houses that have no water or roofs caved in right now. And now we have a growing migrant population who are coming into this environment where there's a housing crisis, right? And now there is an economic boom in terms of construction in Abaco and in terms of construction in Eleuthera Harbour Island, where we are demanding this Haitian labor. And we demand this Haitian labor without supplying the housing, right? So they're now forced to live in the bushes. We are causing this issue here, right? So what is the solution? Perhaps are you saying that the solution to this to immigration is solving the housing issue?
No. I'm not saying that. I agree that people that attempt to come into our country illegally should not be able. They should be stopped, detained, and returned. That there should be nothing that happens illegally within our country. The housing crisis, I think, is something that has to be for Bahamians to benefit from and to find that they have somewhere that is safe and worth investing in so they can have a foothold in their own country. I think that even people that come from the blessed and fortunate backgrounds, when I say blessed and fortunate, you grew up in some stability and you were able to go on to higher education or find a place within the workforce that is stable and has, like, you know, benefits. Even though those people in those positions are struggling to survive, to maintain, to find access. It was interesting is because one of the things that we always talk about the de-average of our country, and earlier again on Guardian Radio, the exceptional radio station, they were talking about how we need to revolutionize our high school educations, our secondary educations, how we need to meet the growing demand for technology and the hospitality industry, et cetera, et cetera. And I think when we say, well, how are Bahamians going to continue to own their country, those conversations talking about forget about the fear of the foreigner, but the grasping of that which is ours so that we're able and capable, and because we are able and capable. We are able and capable, texters, to man and continue to grow the Bahamas that has untapped potential, that is the envy of the Caribbean, that I think that's a conversation that we need to continue to
and
have.
As you get ready to read one or two of the texts, right, Karifta is coming up. Karifta's coming up, and it's going to be Karifta 50 years, Bahamas 2023, right? The last time we had a big Karifta event, there were complaints about the news, the sportscaster, not being apt or to the grade level. You know, I'm not going to call the newscaster name when he was on official and the Caribbean said, man, but he doesn't know names of the athletes. His dialect is thick. Have you heard what is happening? And like I said, I want you to read the text first, but I want us having a discussion on what should we be preparing for Karifta. Should the general Bahamians know what is going to be happening fork or rifter beforehand. To know the sportscasters where the, because we know when they had the big competition in Grand Bahama, there was a housing problem. Now that we have in the track and field, what is the solution of government? What is the plan?
I almost feel like I'm talking about to my kids on the way to school. We got immigration theater, CARIFTA. I'm so excited for CARIFTA. I have hardly any athletic ability. I'm a huge Bahamian fangirl. I love our athletes. Shawnee is my favorite person on the planet. So I can't wait to see how we handle it. I will be attending. I will be supporting. I will be yellowing. I'll be wearing my Bahamian pride shirts. So do we have the talent capable of emceeing CARIFTA? Absolutely. How should we be preparing for that? Can I read the text first?
Yeah,
I just want to say that some people with monkey time don't want to go to work because it's cold. I know. I had to like arm wrestle my children out of bed. It was so cold. Let's see who else I made mad today. Garbage with language. Yeah, we went through that. But that's a lie. We don't treat these people humanely. This is why they come. This is why they come. We treat them too well. Please. Okay. Morning. We see illegal immigration being a national security issue, which I believe it is. Some is to consider the agency responsible for the immigration migration matters is not under the Ministry of National Security, who is responsible for the security of the Bahamas. You do not know who is coming to the country, what they're bringing, nor their intentions. Some believe and they're entitled once they arrive. I completely agree. I do agree that this could be a national security threat. I agree that we have to protect our borders. This is not the ability to speak well and to behave well. And when we talk about these things and these issues, does not mean we don't act with strength. Because you speak kindly to your child does not mean you do not discipline them. And we're talking about these things in which we protect our country. Of course we do so. We must do so well. But we are publicly having people of note in our country speaking in a way which I think is equally as dangerous. And we don't want to incite anything that could be a national security problem by being so insulting, by being so threatening, by celebrating the death of other people, that we create a problem that doesn't need to be.
But since you bring that up, you think that's a real fear, that something our response may initiate, start some type of turmoil between groups?
Oh my gosh. If your guest was a physiologist, I think that's the wrong career, what would you say is the state of Lincoln Bain? Oh, we don't have a housing crisis. We have a pricing crisis. You see how much for property is for sale in New Providence. Great show as usual. Ask your guest how she feels about the introduction of boat making in high school as a mandatory course. Am I pretty or am I a catfish? Lord, I skid. I would say that any tactile arts, that's a whole different discussion. That's a whole different show that I actually told CA that I wanted to have our high school students that have survived the pandemic, Dorian, and are now about to launch and become the future of our country to come in and talk about how they would revolutionize our secondary education. And when it comes to the trades that I think are not something that shouldn't be elevated and celebrated, the boat making, the crafts, the practical tools, etc. I do think that should be something that's developed within high school. So it's an excellent suggestion. I forget what the last question was.
I want to know if you believe there is a real fear of there being tensions. I mean, there exist tensions, a physical tension between groups because of the way we approach things or a number of persons are approaching things, the verbiage and the language we're using.
I think that I don't know if I'm best equipped to answer that country. I'm a student of history, and as we look back throughout times, whenever you back humanity into a corner, people come out fighting. Now, I think the reason we've seen such a rise of crime in our country is because so many people feel backed into corners, that there are places that there's desperation, there's lack of financial choices, there's no hope that asks or demands for better behavior, and therefore this could be, now before the texts come and start hating me, that is not a justification, that is not an excuse. I am not talking about anything involving the violence towards women or child abuse, but when we see these young men who, again, are invited into a gang culture, this is not anything new. This is something that is like from Dickens' time.
Mm-hmm. I see we get another caller there, yeah. Pass the caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, CA. Good morning, your guest in studio.
That's Catherine.
Good morning.
Tim, great conversation. Let me first congratulate you on having this conversation and allowing the public to earlier comments. Bahamian people, at least pockets that I'm involved with and those who I speak to, they do feel as if their backs already backed in a corner. The sad reality is that many believe that the government whom we have elected, or who was elected to serve the people, are not listening sufficiently to the Bahamian people and to the wishes that they hired them to act on their behalf. The notion that Bahamians, because I hear quite a bit, there's this notion that Bahamians hate Haitians, which is a fallacy. It is not true. We are a very welcoming people to everyone in this country. However, when we do see that systems are being abused and misused and mishandled, and the Bahamian taxpayer has all this burden thrust upon him, like right now, you got new taxes coming on us again where we have to pay, but we see persons coming into the country not saying that they don't have the right to send their monies to their country of origins or whatever, but we see tons of monies being sent out of the country. Persons are presumably not contributing to the public purse to help with paying taxes and everything. It then becomes a very vexing situation for a lot of people. And, you know, be it that we could take the view or try to view it from the migrants, and not just the Haitians, but the Jamaicans and the Venezuelans and the Filipinos and all them, because this money is going out of the country, not helping our coffers per se. But when you have all of this going on, it is very disheartening for a lot of Bahamians who are struggling just to survive in their country of wealth. To survive, you have to put food on the table, pay these bills and everything. It then becomes a very vexing problem. So we cannot just simply dismiss both sides. But also, I think our government really needs to take account of how the Bahamian people, the 160,000 of us, presumably out of the 400,000, we need to take a closer look on why is it that and some people, CA, hates these words, but I'm going to use it in the context that we can understand, the organic or indigenous Bahamian. We want to see a fair play across the board. It is very difficult to live in this country. It's extremely difficult, but, you know, I could go on and on, but I thank you for taking my call.
Of course,
I just wanted to get that out there, that there are frustrated Bahamians who now feel that the government is not listening to them, and now there's this thing called citizen justice, where they must go there and start to do some things to get our government to react. And get our government to act on behalf of the Bahamian people in the manner that they expect them to act. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks very much, Jeff. Let me quickly ask Catherine this, and then be on the other side of Rachel Lansett. I want to know your feelings about the term indigenous organic Bahamians, and your term about and your feelings about citizen justice. This is a new thing they're doing. Citizens justice. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? This has been Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri, and of course I have my guest host today, Catherine Mitchell, all the way from Adelaide here, and she's given her commentary on what is trending, and I have all kind of topics I'm churning out at her, and she's given her response to that, and the Texans are going wild as they engage her. But we'll be right back.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? I noticed you've been down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. Make sure they check and talk more often and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness. Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri and Katrin Mitchell. And we are having a kaleidoscope of topics, right? But I have a text right here as Katrin contemplated on her response regarding those last two questions before the break. The Minister of Social Services just this morning was talking about the need out there and how stretched the ministry is. The economically deprived migrants are overwhelming us. That's the truth. And that is truth that is hard to hear, but it's true. That's what the text is saying. So the next text was, remember what happened in Rwanda? The violence was initially spread by radio. Mm-hmm. The airwaves was true. The main vehicle for spread of misinformation. And I see that text there. I'm going back to you now, Katrin. We was asking to your sentiments, your feelings, your emotions about
first of all, I really feel that Rwanda text, I'm not sure which angle you're going from, but that's absolutely true. A revolution was started through the radio, which is why I think the responsibility of those, this is not just casual conversations, and I'm a guest today, but the responsibility of those who have a voice is huge. Mm-hmm. The fact that, I mean, I think was it P.D. Green, is that the correct name, that in the Chicago riots was a DJ responsible for making things safe and talking people down to go home and protecting so many people? If I'm wrong with that, please text in and correct my history. But yes, the fact that, so when things are said about, again, celebrating the smell of death, I'm saying that's where the line is. Now, I think that I would just like to clarify that defending our borders, our countries, making sure that we are all safe and provided for, absolutely. I completely agree. And the last texter, I mean, I have a soft spot for men called Jeff because that's my husband's name. So, but I agree. I agree with so many of his points that you're looking at a population in the and the other texter that says that just in the papers today was talking about the tens of thousands of people who are looking for social assistance that are simply unable to afford to put food on the table. Yes. And, I hear all of these things, and I appreciate the desperation that many of our Bahamian people are in. You asked me the comment of organic and indigenous. Now, to me, I think that, and Jeff can always correct me, does that mean like black and descendant from slaves? Because there's actually no indigenous Bahamians left in the Bahamas. As a Bahamian born and raised in the Bahamas, we have a lot of 23andMe. We have lots of people from lots of different
you're
countries.
You're not indigenous?
Listen, I'm indigenously Bahamian in that I hail from Gambier and Adelaide, and I live in a mango tree most of the time. But I'm saying with those who have a claim and right to the land, this is a land that we have been given guardianship of, and we need to endeavor and work very hard to continue to earn and own the right to. But we focus a lot on the Haitian immigration. As anyone who goes down Bay Street will see that there's a lot of other workers in here. As you said, is this a prejudice that is held just towards the specific level of people, or are there people of other hues or skill sets that we also need to be directing attentions towards? But you had said, but one, the last comment you asked me to comment on was the term of citizen justice. I'd love to know your definition of that. Mm-hmm. But what it reminded me of yesterday is like being Martin Luther King Day and reviewing some of the things as I tried to tell the children in my life why he was important, to the Bahamas. He was in Bimini a few days before he died writing, I have seen the mountaintop, you know, the mountaintop speech, and that basically we made him feel, the Bahamas, I believe, made him feel like he'd seen the promised land. And so it's a deeply touching connection. But one of the reminders they are saying that, remember that social justice justice and private charity are not the same thing. And that as we show humanity and we care for people and their needs, and we have to, as a Christian nation, as humans, even if you don't identify as Christian, as humans have to treat humanity with dignity and respect. We're also allowed to have social justice within our country, and want to make sure that those who are here, that those who we pledge to take care of and to care for as a nation and to support as a nation have the best opportunities available to them. And I think the ongoing frustration is, how can we take care of anyone else when we're barely taking care of ourselves? I hear that. And again, I am a Bahamian that supports Bahamians. I just want us to speak well in a place that I am always proud of our character in doing so.
That's profound. And watch the world mark our manner.
Of your bearing.
Yes, so I always remember that. This text says, listen, let's not be ignorant. Bahamians who have been here before 1973, our independence, and act as a sovereign, disappeared nation, we are Bahamians of origin. We are the indigenous people.
Okay. I would love the definition of what you think that means, how you would define origin and when the origin of the country began. Was it a few hundred years ago when the horror of slavery began in these islands? Is that the beginning of the origins of the Bahamas? At which point do we historically start that discussion? That's another show, though.
Yes. I came across one definition of this indigenous and all this organic person is saying that your mother and your grandmother needs to be, end quotes, pure behemoths, not diluted. And I've seen the definition continues to change and morphs into what it is. But I'll go point to you, who are of a Greek extract. Your family came here from the early, mid-1800s, right? Does that deny you this organic or indigenous definition when over 100 and odd years your family has toiled and worked and contributed a part of the Bohemian tapestry and narrative? And does that take away your indigenous, your organicness?
I'm actually a Greco-Scotch Bahamian.
Even I had a Scotch one. Go ahead.
I know. So I'm even more of a problem. You know, this is something that it's an ongoing discussion. And when we talk about, when the artists talk about a search for identity, and even today, as we're talking about Shakespeare in Paradise and the we, you know, I was like, who does the we include and who does the we leave out? And I was like, am I anything but a Bahamian? I'm born here. I'm raised here. This is where my children are born. This is where my life is. And I continue to be so. However, I think a lot of us are Bahamian and I would like to say the and is not a takeaway from your Bahamianness, but it's a plus. It's what, you know, that we've had the 23andMe discussion. We all come from somewhere, something, some history. But I think what people are saying is that there's some of us who've been here longer than others. And because of that, we have our choices, our histories, our connection to this country that is embedded in a way that gives us a right and maybe less choices. Because we're so invested in this country, we deserve more from it because we have so much put in here. This is so much of what our identity is. We can't claim other places or other identities.
Let me stop you there and ask you this, right? Your family identifies Greek Bahamian. This is the reason why I asked this question. The term Greek Bohemian, do you think that takes away from the Bohemianness, or that's just a part of the Bohemian narrative? That's why I phrase it that way, because I know you belong to a part of a community, and I want you to explain why it is still important to have the term Greek Bohemian and have Greek Bohemian celebrations.
We're going to have a show on that, too. There is a Greek festival coming up, but I won't advertise that for free. I think anyone you ask in my family would say they were Bahamian. My grandfather was a PLP, one of the first white PLP senators back in the day and towards the push for independence. And so the fact that my mother would say she was a Bahamian, I don't think she'd tell anyone she was a Greek Bahamian. And so the fact that we see that as, I think that when that is seen as a threat, anything, being Chinese Bahamian, you know, British Bahamian, whatever it is, seems the threat is that you claim something that rightfully is something that other people own, because if we don't have it, we suffer. And the suffering is something we have to continue to answer. But as we march towards independence and who we are as a multicultural, multi-race, multi-layered history of a people, we have to look for the strength and brightness and opportunities in that. There has to be opportunities for there to be hope, for there to be growth, for there to be an end to violence, and for there to be a desire to educate and grow as a people. So I look forward to continuing these conversations. And I thank you for all the texters, even those who made me mad or made me itch think talking about Monkey Tamarind.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Catherine. Catherine Mitchell, Chacha Chisnell Mitchell, was my co-host today. This has been Guardian Radio with AM with C.A. Nuri, and I enjoyed this conversation. I like poking at Catherine and forcing to answer the tough questions, right, about Bahamiana and how she fits in and how her family fits in and what makes us Bahamian. Anyway, have a wonderful day.